Okay, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that passage that Lee read for us this morning. A very interesting portion of Scripture, to say the least. Not one of the easy portions of Scripture to handle together in a time of worship like this. However, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, as it will say at the end of the passage. Now, did you notice as we were reading that it did say, and know this, or but know this, that in the last days. That's a very important phrase, last days. I was doing some reading this week, and the interesting thing is that not only Bible-believing Christians know about the last days, but I found all kinds of quotations from people who don't even believe in the second coming of Christ, who believe that we're living in the last days. And I thought it was very interesting. The last days. Why are they called last days? Well, they're the last days before the return of Jesus Christ. And we're looking for the literal bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this chapter begins to describe what things are like before Christ returns. Now, there's a portion of Scripture, if you can keep your hand there in 2 Timothy, and turn with me to James 5. James chapter 5, because here we have a portion of Scripture that is not normally considered when people are talking about last days or the return of Christ. It may be familiar to some of you, but this is a beautiful portion of Scripture, a passage that talks about the return of Christ. And it's got some practical exhortation for us, because out of 2 Timothy 3, we said, well, Paul gives some counsel on how we should live in a time when all these things are going on, which we read during Scripture reading time this morning. However, would you notice with me at James chapter 5, verse 7, where the Apostle James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives, the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Now there's the second time he mentioned it. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Remember, we have said in times past that God wanted every generation of believers to be looking for the return of Christ. The first generation of believers, and we who know Christ now. Every generation was to be looking for the return of Christ. And there's some more exhortation here. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned or judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. That's a very vivid picture. Sometimes people say, yeah, when do you think the Lord's going to return? Well, I'm amongst those who think the Lord may return soon, in light of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the Apostle James says, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus is standing at the door. And I believe he is. I believe that soon the Lord will return. I don't know when. The Bible's very clear. No man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. But we are to be looking and anticipating the return of the Lord. Knowing this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, when it uses the term last days, this term is used in a number of ways in Scripture, but primarily, even here, it refers to the time period between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. The Lord came the first time to give His life on the cross for our sins. We are looking for Him to come the second time, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we will, as believers, we could be that generation of living believers that meet the Lord in the air. I've told this before, but wouldn't hurt to mention it again. There will be somebody who's saved and then taken up in the rapture. Okay, they're the last person saved. And that last person who's saved and taken up in the rapture, he or she's going to trust the Lord as Savior, and then they're going up to heaven to be with the Lord. Man, this Christian life is awesome. And it is. It's awesome. the last days, perilous times shall come. The description of people, society, and actually 2 Timothy chapter 3 is looking at professing Christendom, the church, the conduct of people in the church at the time of the Lord's return. There's a degeneration in society. 19 characteristics which we as believers, now this is going to be interesting for you to hear this, but we should expect to see this before the Lord returns. We don't want to see this, but He's saying, look, if you're looking for the return of Christ, expect to see people who are, kind of glance at your text there, lovers of themselves, very self-centered, narcissistic, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers. And that term there is used of those who are abusive to others. And we hear so much of abuse in our world today. Disobedient to parents. And people say, well, there's always been children disobedient to me. But you see, when in the last days prior to the coming of Christ, these things will be intensified. So we're living in a day when children are actually encouraged to sue their parents. You know, you never heard that a generation ago. You didn't. It's one of the signs that, you know, there's this intensification of these things which we say, boy, look at it, look at these things. Unthankful, unholy, drop down to verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, what's interesting, you look at this passage and say, boy, that's not a very edifying passage for a morning worship service. But the interesting thing is that the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 said that we should be prepared for His second coming or for His return. And He gives descriptions of things which will, or signs which will be seen in the tribulation period. Now remember, the tribulation period takes place after the rapture. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord. And then all hell is going to break loose on earth. Not right away, but during that 7-year period. And Jesus said, how do you know that I'm coming back again down to the earth to set up my kingdom? How do you know? Because there will be false Christs. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines. There will be pestilences. There will be earthquakes, martyrdom and persecution, false prophets, and increased wickedness. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, lawlessness will abound. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. People will grow cold in relationship to their love for God and even their love for others. Because you remember the great commandment in Scripture, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And we talked about this in Sunday school class this morning. This should be our motivation for the things that we do. Our love for the Lord. It is the supreme motivation for us. And Jesus said, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. So these signs are given even by the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, they're given an answer to the question of the disciples, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? I thought it was interesting to notice three of these awful things in the passage here, 2 Timothy 3. One is that it says people will be lovers of themselves. You know, wow, we look at these characters and say, Lord, yeah, this is going to be a dominant thing among people before you return. And the apostle says, yes, it will be. In fact, we got a term for it, and it's called humanism, where you leave God out. Humanism says, the world just evolved. Humanism said that man is responsible to man, but not responsible to God. That's humanism. Lovers of self. And then lovers of money. Well, that's materialism, verse 2 again. Is materialism dominant in many parts of the world today? Absolutely. The love of money. And then the other one, verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, that's hedonism. So if you just take those three, of all these characteristics, you just take the three, love of self, love of money, and love of pleasure, kind of hits what's happening in our society today. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People are just going to go on with life without having any regard or having any desire for relationship with God. You and I know very clearly, and this isn't something that we like to be reminded of, that America is engulfed in a great moral crisis. A crisis that is here today in this country like has never been before in America. There's the widespread acceptance of homosexuality. And the big issue today is, are you going to approve of same-sex marriage or are you not? And you've heard, and I heard again this week, and you know, it kind of hits you pretty hard, where people who will not approve of homosexuality, and by the way, we don't hate homosexuals. We desire that they come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's all kinds of sin in society. But as you know, this acceptance of same-sex marriage is really being pushed out on the people of the United States. And we heard this past week again, I sat in my own living room and heard a man say, if you do not approve of same-sex marriage, you're bigoted, you're prejudiced, and you're uneducated. That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said. No, we don't approve of it. Not at all. And the Supreme Court isn't supreme. There's a higher court in heaven. And when the Supreme Court, the very day the Supreme Court gives approval of it, watch out what things will happen in the United States of America. We've already suffered. 56 million babies have been murdered with the approval of government officials in the United States. And every one of them should be out of office if they're going to approve something like that. Every single one of them. Now, we do need to keep in mind that God forgives those involved in abortion, those involved in homosexuality. There's forgiveness and cleansing from the Lord. But we cannot approve of those things which right here it clearly says they're an abomination to God. Clearly in the text of Scripture. We're living in difficult days. Perilous times shall come. And so you see in verses 1 through 9, you see these things which say, what are you going to do with these things? Paul is saying you've got to look for them in society. There's going to be those who are heady, high-minded, have a form of godliness, but deny its power. What's Timothy to do? He's to continue in the work of the Lord, and he's to continue in the Word of God, verses 14 through 17. Let's look a little bit more carefully at this. You'll notice that it says back in 1 Timothy. You need to look at this verse to understand this difficult chapter that we're looking at this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Here we go again. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times or in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Anytime you have under the banner of religion, teaching that says things like Jesus is not really God the Son, the Bible is not the Word of God, the Bible is not the truth of God. Anytime you have this, there's the involvement of demonic activity. Remember now I said in the realm of religion, where a person is representing maybe even Christianity. It's called the apostasy. Look at it again with me. 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. Knowing this, in the latter times, men shall depart from the faith. There's the departing from the truth of the Word of God. And an apostate is someone who was not once saved and then lost their salvation. Apostate is someone who claimed to believe something, and then they say they don't believe it anymore. You know what's interesting, by the way? I'm really getting into it this morning. Politicians who say, well, you know, I used to think that homosexuality was a sin, but, you know, I've morphed. I've made a transition. Well, I've made a transition too, right to the Word of God, where God clearly says in His Word that it's an abomination unto Him. And in the last days, there will be the increase of this. Have we seen the increase of it? Absolutely, we've seen the increase of it. Apostasy means a falling away from the truth that is in the Word of God. So you have now within Christianity, you have places and churches you can go where they do not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. They do not open the Bible in church service. I went to a service a number of years ago with some friends just to see what they did. And I'm telling you sincerely, the Bible was never opened. And a little helpful thing was mentioned like, well, when you drive home from church, drive home a different way and you'll feel better. Yeah, if you drive home a different way, you may get a flat tire. Evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse. 3:13. Is that what it says in 3:13? Let's double check it. 3:13. Evil men and deceivers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. To deceive means to take someone to make others believe that something that is actually false is true. Okay? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Quite a warning. So what does the apostle say to Timothy? "But you should," verse 14, "continue in the things which you have learned." And verse 15 says, "That's the Holy Scriptures which have been given to you." So it says, "In the last days perilous times shall come." And there are perilous times in which we are living right now. In the last days. In the days prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought it was interesting to see that word perilous is the same words that's used to describe two violent demoniacs in Gadara in Matthew chapter 8. People wouldn't go near them because they were dangerous. They chain them up and they try to chain them up and they broke the chains in the power of demonic spirits. So we're living in those kinds of days. People having, you'll notice it says in verse 5, a form of godliness but denying its power. So what I am saying is within Christianity, there are those who claim to be Christian who don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know the verse very well, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Very interesting warning. In fact, I looked at this carefully. What you are doing is you're glancing at your text this morning, and you're looking at verse 5, and it says, "Those who claim to be Christian or have the power of God, but deny its power, deny the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, those who deny that, the power of God," what does he say there? He says, "Stay away from them." You say, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say that we should try to reach unsaved people? Yes, it does. There's no contradictions in the Word of God. When you look at the passage here, you're talking about those in the context of religion. But over in chapter 2, which we looked at, you'll notice it says in 2:25, "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perchance might grant them repentance, so that they may come to the truth." So there are those whom we know don't know Jesus, and we need to be praying for them. We want them to come to faith in Christ. But those in, quote, religion who say the Bible's not the Word of God, Jesus not Christ is not the Savior, the gospel is not true, those who say that in the name of religion, Paul says to Timothy, don't get involved in that. It's very important that you understand that these are religious people who are saying wrong is right. Very important that you understand that. Those who are in religion who claim these things. Lost people, we need to have love and compassion for them. We need to reach them. Even those who are involved in all kinds of sin, even the kinds of sin that are mentioned here, we need to be concerned for them and desirous that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, and long-suffering, and love. Paul is telling Timothy, I'm really concerned for you. You desire to have a ministry for the Lord. And I want you in your desire to have a ministry for the Lord, living in the last days with all these 19 things that are mentioned here. Blasphemers, unholy, unthankful, unforgiving, slanderous. While you're living even in the midst of those in your day, Timothy, I want you to remember what I have taught you from the Scriptures, and I want you to remember my faith. And I thought that was interesting. You see, God wants you and I as believers to maintain strong faith in Him in a day when people are departing from the faith. You may be the only one in your office that knows Jesus Christ as Savior. And your faith must be strong in Him. And people in these days bring up the subject. There's some things that are not right out in the world today. And you in turn have an opportunity with your strong faith to share your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, remember my faith. Remember my total trust in the Lord, how I've come to know Jesus as the true Messiah. I persecuted Him before I was saved, but now I know Jesus is the true Messiah. And my faith is strong in the Lord, Timothy, and I want you to have a strengthened faith. And how does your faith get strengthened? Well, from God's perspective, He keeps blessing your life. He keeps helping you through trials and needs. He keeps you informed in the truth that He is the Lord and the Savior. And your faith is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened the more you read the Bible. You not only come to church and look at the words of Scripture, but you read the Bible on your own at home, and it strengthens your faith. Faith is important. That's Paul's counsel for living in the last days. Strengthen your faith. Also, he mentions long-suffering. This is beautiful because Paul, you see, when he began to preach the gospel, people didn't say to him, watch this, don't miss this now. Paul, this is great. You were once a Pharisee, and you believed all the teachings of the Old Testament, and now you've accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and you know that He went to the cross for you. Paul, yeah, we just gladly receive your teaching. Did they do that to Paul? No. They persecuted him. They threw stones at him. But yet Paul was long-suffering. He was not short-tempered. The opposition to him was radical. And yet he didn't respond in ways that are contrary to how God wants a believer to respond. So his counsel is be patient again while you're waiting for the coming of Christ. Be long-suffering and patient when there's opposition. When you're opposed, what you teach or believe is opposed. And the last one, of course, he mentions that I'm going to mention, picking out of his counsel to Timothy, is love. Wow. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to communicate our love for others, specifically who may be in lifestyles that are mentioned in 2 Timothy 3 and Romans 1. Because again, they say, well, you don't accept me. You're bigoted. You're prejudiced. And somehow or another, when we communicate that we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman, somehow or another, we've got to communicate that out of love and compassion. We got to do it. And it's not always easy. I sat in a neighbor's house a number of years ago, and there was a couple young adults and more of an older adult, and we happened to come across near a passage just like this. And so what do? You don't say, well, you know, you don't move away from it. You say, you know, God has given to us the wonderful provision of marriage, and God has said in His Word it's between one man and one woman. And God will bless that relationship when the two are joined together under Him. And so Paul said, Timothy, remember now that I showed the love of God, the love of Christ, as I taught about Jesus Christ. Love is used there in the text of Scripture as well. So, counsel for the last days, love the lost. And sometimes we say, boy, it's not easy. I've had people say, you know, I know someone, so-and-so, or I work with them, and it's just not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. What's the counsel for living in the last days? He mentions faith in 3:10. Strengthen your faith. Look at the Word of God. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm not real good at reading the Bible. Well, just take one verse a day. Just take one verse a day and let your mind concentrate on that. Or one passage of Scripture. Strengthen your faith. Long suffering. Be patient in light of the return of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of things in society we don't like to see, but we need to be patient. And love is absolutely essential. The Apostle Paul said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I guess one of the things to do, if you find yourself in a situation where you're around someone who's not very loving, that you would say, Lord, I just, in myself, I don't have the compassion, I don't have the love that I should for this person. They're abrasive. They say things that I think are definitely wrong. But Lord, would you give me a genuine love for this person that comes from your Holy Spirit who lives within my heart? That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Strengthen your faith. Be patient in light of the coming of the Lord. Be long-suffering. Don't retaliate. Have that love and that compassion produced in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, of course, he says in 3:14 and following, stay in the Scriptures. Allow the Word of God to find root in your heart. Get into the Word of God. Make sure days don't go by when you're not opening the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells why people in the last days will be deceived by the Antichrist. Now, I rather imagine, if the Antichrist came on the scene today, that none of you who are here would be deceived by the Antichrist. And you'd say, if this guy comes along and says, I'm God. Well, that's what the Antichrist is going to do, by the way. He's going to go over and he's going to make peace in the Middle East. He's going to begin to get people accepting him. You can see how this can happen in our society today. He's going to have people accepting him, and then he's going to have a false prophet who says, listen, this man is really God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And there will be people who will believe it. You know, it's amazing. Our society is getting prepared for the accepting of someone who lies with the deceits of Satan. Our society is getting prepared for this. There's so many lies that are given today, and even from our own government. So that when Antichrist comes on the scene, people are going to accept him. But you won't, you see, because here's why. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, those who fall to the Antichrist fall to the Antichrist because they didn't love the truth of God's Word. You know, as long as we desire to love the Lord and love His Word and check things out by the Word of God, the Lord will keep us in the sphere of truth. But the minute we reject His Word, the minute we say, well, I don't know. And this is what's happened in Christianity. There's a departure from the faith. It's called the apostasy. Where the Bible's no longer opened in times of worship. The antidote and the real need for living in days of the apostasy is to make sure that we as God's people are staying in the Word of God. Let's pray together.